Thank you and welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and I am super grateful you are here. Today, it's the Broken Bottle Circus preview with Rachel Levy, a one-night-only event next Friday, July 3rd at Alaska Robotics and Amalga Distillery. We'll discuss how this madness began. Our annual visit with the Douglas 4th of July Committee on all things Independence Day. And Pride Month wraps up next Tuesday, and today we chat with Mo Longworth about a special screening of her filmed play, Blue Ticket, and Zach Gordon Youth Center is hosting a mystical masquerade, an afternoon of magic, celebration, and community tomorrow afternoon. Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO. You can also catch us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Two notes before we begin today. Juno Afternoon will be on holiday next week. We will have no shows next week. We'll return on Wednesday, July 8th. Have a safe and wonderful holiday. Also, next Tuesday, June 30th at 6 p.m. at Thunder Mountain Middle School Auditorium, a special GLOF evening with panelists talking about the latest science guiding flood planning, the temporary flood wall made of HESCO barriers, public safety, and future solutions. Join moderator KTO reporter Alex Solomon along with officials from all the major agencies. There will be a Q&A where you will have the opportunity to ask questions. That's next Tuesday, June 30th at Thunder Mountain Middle School to discuss the next glacier outburst flood and how officials are planning to protect valley neighborhoods. This is Juno Afternoon. Up next is the first, it's the Tlingit word of the week.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakwanish George Davis. And the word this week is tan.
Tan.
That means sea lion. And here is a sentence.
Tan each cut off.
The sea lion sits on the submerged boulder. Let's hear it again.
Tan.
Sea lion. Gunash Cheese to Hune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kahuan Ish, George Davis was Tukdain Tan and the child of a Tsagwe Di man. He grew up in Qiq, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Tlingit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter with outdoor clothing, gear, and footwear for the whole family, now carrying On running shoes and Gooder running sunglasses. Located in the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. What started as a scheduled gallery showing with artist Rachel Levy has literally transformed into a circus. It's all happening next Friday, July 3rd from 5 to 7 at both Alaska Robotics and Amalga Distillery, here to explain what happened and why this is so, is artist Rachel Levy, as well as Aaron Suring from Alaska Robotics. Gunath Cheese, Shat Yedi, thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio today. Wasiti, how are you today, Rachel?
I'm good. Thanks for having me here.
Excellent. And Aaron, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Yeah.
Excellent.
Thanks for the invite.
So you at Alaska Robotics have been hosting First Friday events and artists for a number of years, really. I mean, even way back in the old days,
yep.
I think you were doing it.
Long time.
And then you invited Rachel to be your next, you know, participant in the long string of artists.
Yeah, Rachel's doing some amazing work and stuff, and I just thought it'd be great to have their stuff on the wall, and then this happened.
And then this happened. So, Rachel, you have... Broken Bottle Prints, Tell us a little bit about what you do with that, and then sort of how you were, and then get into the transformation of what happened here.
Yeah, I've been doing relief printmaking with Broken Bottle for the last year or two. Originally, started up with Jim Human. He taught me and a lot of other printmakers in town, and it has sort of just spiraled into a big obsession for me. But with Alaska Robotics, I was going to do a show kind of focusing on sideshow freaks and carnies. I just am really interested in, like, fringe culture and, you know, stuff like that. So I was going to do this show, and I'm always super weird during First Friday and don't know what to do with myself, and I've done a couple of shows, and I don't know. I always just feel awkward being the center of attention. So I had a friend who's a really good mime, and it started with that, and I was like, why don't you come mime next to me so I don't feel so awkward? And then I had some other friends within my direct circle that, like, really are just weirdos that can, like, do some really weird stuff. And it just sort of spiraled into, like, an open call, like, hey, if you have a cool trick or if you have a cool outfit or if you have a cute dog, I'll buy him a lion costume and we can all show up together and have an excuse to be weird as a unit.
That's so fun. So you were going to do prints of various different circus images, or you are still doing that?
Still am doing that.
Yeah,
so it's a proper gallery opening and First Friday show. It is now just sort of expanded into both spaces. And Amalga's hopped on board too, and they're hosting a lot of games and things like that. And
yeah, they're going to have, like, a special menu.
They're very excited about it. Yeah, they've got all kinds of things going on. So.
I mean, it's a great location for you both to be partners in a lot of ways to do this. So that's kind of cool. So I'm curious, when you were doing these prints, Rachel, were you looking back at, like, old-timey stuff? Or were you – because I can imagine there's some, like, creepy and weird looking stuff from circus. I mean, circus can either be really fun, but it can also, some people get really freaked out by stuff that happens at the circus. Not just the clowns. I mean, other stuff too.
Yeah, I did a really big dive and rabbit hole into, like, specifically circus advertisements were really interesting to me. So yeah, that was really fun. I've always been keen on older advertisements, especially just, like, the really cheeky, out of this world big box advertisements. I think are just really funny, like, one night only, most vicious animal ever that you'll ever see, like, just really crazy things. And so a lot of the prints are focused more on, like, the seedier side of carny culture, for sure.
I was once tricked at a carnival this guy was out front and was like, come see Ape Girl. You're going to see her transform from a woman into an ape. You got to come see Ape Girl. And, you know, it was all black curtain and you had to go in this, you know, shady space to see it. And I was like, you know what? I know this isn't real, but I'm really, as a theater person and everything, I was like, I want to see how they're doing this.
Yeah.
Like, how does this work? So we paid the money and we went in. It was so, it was so cheesy. Like, they used some kind of, like, you know, slide projector thing to try to fake us out a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a woman, but then, like, the slide thing was weird and the lighting. And then all of a sudden, like, it went black. And then all of a sudden a person, you know, an ape appeared. Right?
Yeah.
And it was just, it was so, I mean, it was so funny. But the advertisements, I think the old-timey advertisements are, for a lot of different products, are so interesting, you know. And so definitely for a carnival and a circus, I would think that's pretty awesome research that you had to do.
Yeah, I have a big printed folder. My roommate probably hates me because at one point it was all over my floor, but just of old advertisements and designs and posters and old ticket booths and old ticket stubs. Like, it just was really fun from, like, a design perspective to see what that aesthetic was and how I could bring that into the prints I made for the show.
So the circus part of next Friday, which is First Friday, it's also going to be the evening of the fireworks and we have the holiday. Most people have the day off next Friday. So you can definitely get down there from 5 to 7 at the Alaskan Robotics and the Amalga Distillery. There's going to be lots of stuff going on. You have 15-plus people who are going to be...
Yeah, and there's some really cool stuff going on.
Yeah, at least
15. Yeah.
Tell me, tease me a little bit about, like, what are people going to be doing?
Oh, I mean, it's all over the place. We're going to have people doing some of the, like, ring tosses and, like, some of the basic games and stuff, too. But then also... I think there's a contortionist coming, isn't there?
What?
Yeah.
Are these, like, the hidden talents of Juno? Is that what we're seeing on Friday?
Yeah, and people took it and run, too. Amelia Budd and Carter Bancroft made what they're calling a a waltz machine, which I'm interested to see what that means. Okay. But they're two really talented musicians, and the idea is you will push a button and they'll play a waltz as if they're like within a machine.
You know? Like they're robotic or something?
Yeah, but yeah. They're going to be playing the music. And then there's other people. We have Nickety Splits and Dirty Martini coming with their pole, so they're going to do a pole performance.
Oh, wow.
And then there's rune readings and birth chart readings and, yeah,
scene rune
games.
Readings?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We even have, I think, KTO reporter Alex Solomon is going
to
be
yeah.
there.
Yeah, and Yvonne is coming to do a bunch of face paint for all the volunteers. Okay. So the whole KTO gang is going to be there.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So, yeah. Aaron, you're literally turning Alaska Robotics into like a tented circus almost.
That's the goal, yeah. But yeah. It's not just art. It's a multi-ring tent because we also have Amalga doing things too.
Right,
is, yeah,
that's amazing.
It's going to be a lot of things in both sides of the aisle there.
And I know for First Friday, sometimes there's, food or beverages. Do you have plans for that, too? Are we having carny food? Are we doing anything fun like that?
You'll have to come and find out.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't even know all the plans yet. We're still a week away. We have all kinds of things can happen still.
Yeah. I'm sure people have – there's probably somebody who has a cotton candy machine. Like
That'll be included in one of the drinks. There's going to be a drink with cotton candy floating on top of it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, Amalga's going to do that.
Yeah. Amalga's going all out with the popcorn machine.
Mara's very excited about this event.
This is going to be really fun. This is like maybe a very unique First Friday, right? Like this is kind of interesting. Because a lot of times it is just the art on the wall and the artist is standing there, like you said, sometimes awkwardly. And they're artists, so they don't necessarily want to be talking to people.
Right.
But they have to get their work out there, right? So that's kind of interesting. So this was a great idea that you had, you know, to just kind of like – so you were talking to a friend and they were just like, hey, I can do X, Y, Z.
Exactly.
And then you're just like, oh. And then all of a sudden it just – so this just kind of – it wasn't necessarily like a brainstorm. It just kind of happened organically.
And it just sort of grew organically too. And I do – I will say I love a costume party. And I feel like we have a lack of costume parties in general. So once I started talking to more friends and they got excited about their outfits and I started getting more excited, I'm like, all right, we need like 10 or 15 people in on this in full face makeup and full outfits. And yeah, it definitely, if you had asked me 3 months ago when I started this, I thought it was going to be a normal gallery opening. But now there's animals involved and sword fighters. I don't know.
You have a carnival barker out front? That would be hilarious, too. Remember the people? They'd be on the little stand, and they're like, come see, blah, blah, blah. That'd be kind of cool,
too. There's only one.
I mean, you
can
go
come
wild.
Come see Ape Girl. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Come see Ape Girl. This is going to be so cool. This is the – what is it? Is it called Broken Bottle Circus? Is that what we're titling it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I do have the flyer here for those who may be looking on the stream. So this is – Freaks Beyond Imagination, Never Before Seen Live Performances, CD Games, and Cheeky Activity Booths. Okay, it's one night only. So the show will be up for the month, right?
Right.
The prints will be up. You can see them. But for this madness, you got to be there on Friday, July 3rd from 5 to 7 p.m. And you can find out more. Where do we find out more about you, Rachel? Do you have an Instagram or website and stuff?
Yeah, you can find me at Broken Bottle Prints on Instagram.
Broken Bottle Prints on Instagram.
Yeah.
And, of course, AlaskaRobotics.com is the website for Alaska Robotics. And Amalga Distilleries also. You can just search that and find out how to get more information there.
Yep.
This is so cool. Are there other things coming up this summer, Aaron, at Alaska Robotics? I'm sure there'll be more First Fridays in your future. But are there other events that you're hosting that you want to mention right now?
I don't know if there's anything else I want to. I mean, this is the one I'm really excited about right now, and this is the one I'll plug. But, yeah, we are going to continue to do First Fridays, and each one seems like it's growing from the last one. It's like we've had some amazing shows already this year, and we love having events in our space, and
it's
turned into a really good space for that too. So
it's just such a great your new space is so awesome, and it's not so new. You've been there a number of years
it's
now.
Almost a little over two years now. But,
2 years, okay.
But it still feels new to me.
Yeah, I love going in there. So, Rachel Levy, Aaron Suring from Alaska Robotics, and Broken Bottle Prints. Go check it out. The Broken Bottle Circus next Friday from 5 to 7 down there at Alaska Robotics and Amalga Distillery. Rachel, Aaron, thanks so much. Gonna cheese for being here today.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Up next, 4th of July with the Douglas 4th of July Committee. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Stars and Stripes Forever. It's the 4th of July. The big one this year being a 250th anniversary, birthday, party, whatever you want to call it.
All of the above.
A celebration. The Douglas 4th of July Committee, though, makes it a big deal every year with so many stacked events. And so joining me now from the 4th of July Committee, I have Maggie Swanson.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Good to see you again. Thank you for being in the spirit, as
of
it were,
course.
A week early, which is nice. And I have Joyce Vick here.
Hello, Joyce.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And then we also have, look at those sunglasses. Look at those glasses. Those are really cool. I have Callahan here in the house as well. Hi, Callahan. How are you, buddy?
Good.
Good. Excellent. I'm excellent. Thank you for asking. This is my last day before I get to go on vacation.
Well, I'm glad you caught us. I'm glad I got you in.
Yeah, get you in here. So we've got tons of stuff going on all the time. One of the things that I love every year is this thing, which is the program that you all put out, because events begin early. It's not just Friday and Saturday. There's all kinds of things that happen beforehand.
Yes.
And so we want to maybe talk about some of those, and then we'll get into Friday's events. So Maggie, tell me, before we get into the details of the schedule, is there anything different you're doing because it is 250 years, or you already do so much?
We're just saying come and have a blast, and we're doing what we can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And so we'd kind of like to start maybe a little bit with the history of why we do things
way
we do.
Please do.
Maybe kind of do a little spiel on our grand marshal.
Yeah.
And then hit everything that's happening.
The events. Okay, do it. Let's talk about it.
All right. Joyce,
all right.
Thank you.
So the Douglas 4th of July Committee is actually celebrating the 127th year of this event. So we've been going for a long time. When the mines were running, the miners got 2 days off a year, Christmas and the 4th of July. The fireworks were set off at midnight on the 3rd,
which we continue to do.
Yeah. Yes. So that the miners could celebrate and be ready to go back to work on the 5th. The focus of the Douglas 4th events have always been on children and community. Competition, including ball games, fire hose events between the Douglas and Juno, have always been very popular.
I didn't realize that was the reason the fireworks were at midnight. Is that really the history of
that? It is, yes.
Interesting.
It's so nice. It's like having two holidays instead of just one.
It's great.
You have the 3rd
and the 4th. Because especially if the 4th is on like a Monday and that's the day we get off, and then you have to go back to work on Tuesday, you know, or whatever it is. So that's really cool. And we also get to be the first in America to
which
set
is
off
like
the fireworks.
The only thing we're the first at.
We're always last.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
we're always four hours behind everybody else.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Okay. So that's cool.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you about our grand marshals.
Yeah, who is it?
Our grand marshals this year, dun-dun-dun-dun, is the Juno Douglas High School class of 1966.
What? You have a whole class of people?
A whole class.
Yes.
Yes.
That's...
Wow. How did you select them as the grand marshals for this year?
Well, they are celebrating their 60th class reunion this year.
Okay.
And so many of these individuals have been so prominent in our community over all the years. And it's just an opportunity to recognize all of them at one time.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So can you shout out a couple of people who are on the...
Yes, the graduates represent not only their hometown, but also family generations that preceded them, helping our community grow and prosper. Longtime residents will recognize family names, many who grew up and attended the school in Douglas. Burrell, Baxter, Becker, Bellardi, Botello, Compton, Elton, Fleek, Florendo, Gamble, Gregg, Gruing, Hagerup, Lesh, Matson, McFeeders, Mead, Nemi, Overstreet, Rogers, Russo, Sanford, and I'm sure that we're missing a whole lot more, but Savico, Schlepp, Sturrock, Togg, and Thibodeau, Watto, Wade, Weaver, Weir, Whitehead, and Zinger, just to name a few of the 200 graduates. Can you believe there are 200 graduates in 1966?
Yep.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow. So you'll have a bunch of those folks. Are they all going to be on the parade
float? They're going to be in Dunzinger's old car. He's going to be driving it, and then they might have another truck, and then they're going to be walking. So wave to them and yell and acknowledge them and all, and just let them know how much we appreciate all they've done for us.
Oh, that's so cool. What a great way to do that. Is this one of the first times you've had groups of people like this, a large group like this?
As a large group, yes. Yeah. But we've had Perseverance Theater, the Treadwell Historic Society. So we've had groups in the past. Last year even was just the Juneau Disc Golf Club. Has been groups that we've recognized, but never quite as large as this.
Yeah, this is a big one. That's a big group.
This is a big one.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, a lot of history involved in that. And I love that the 4th of July committee has been around for 127 years, you said? That's pretty wild. That's like half of the time of America.
Exactly. Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome. That's so great. Yeah. So can we talk about events?
Let's
do it, because there are so many cool things to remind people about.
Yep.
First of all, tell me a little bit about the raffle drawing. That's going to happen on Wednesday.
Okay, so we receive a grant from the city, a small grant from the city that helps us to pay for some of the things. But as you know, over the years, things become more and more expensive, and we're not able to do everything we want to do with just that small grant. And so we have we do our own fundraising. And so this is what we do. And so we have community businesses who have donated door prizes, which you have to be present to win. And then the monetary prizes, we'll just call you. But we sell raffle tickets to fund our business, to fund everything we do, which not is only just the 4th of July, but we also do the ghost walk and Christmas tree lighting, skate with Santa, and all kinds of other things
for the
community.
Throughout the year, exactly. And it's all volunteer organization,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. And then there's a cool thing. We talked about this earlier this week with the library, the bike decorating, which is going to be so fun. This is going to be on Thursday, July 2nd. Tell me about that.
Right, it's amazing. So under the library is the parking garage, which we cordon off so that the kids can ride their bikes and not have to worry about traffic, and the traffic doesn't have to worry about little kids on bikes. We have boxes and boxes of decorations for them to use for bikes, trikes, strollers, wagons, whatever you want. We kind of do this as a lead-in to getting the kids excited to be in the kids' parade portion of the Douglas Parade, but they don't have to be in the parade. We just want them to come and have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can use it for anything, to celebrate it for the week or be part of the parade if you want.
Exactly, yes.
And that's going to be from 4 to 6 p.m.
at
the Douglas Community Library parking garage.
Right, and it's nice that, you know, it doesn't matter what the weather is because we're in a good area there. But we also have a lot of chalk so kids can color on the sidewalks and have fun with that as well.
Oh, get us ready for the Friday. Well,
exactly.
Now, Friday the 3rd, everybody has, most of the people, not everybody, because people in retail don't get the day off usually.
Right.
But a lot of folks have the day off, and this is one of the coolest things ever. The car show, the soapbox car shows, and also the preliminary heats and all that good stuff that happens. And I know that I have a little man here in the studio, Callahan, who I also have the flyer up for those who are on the stream. You can see this. This is Friday, July 3rd, and on Saturday, July 4th. But Callahan, tell us a little bit about, this is going to be like your third year doing the soapbox derby. Tell me a little bit about what you love about doing soapbox.
One of my favorite things about the soapbox is how it's not all about winning, it's just about making fun of memories, and I think that this is at least my second year doing it, maybe my third.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
So you do it with your pals? Do you do it with your buddies?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, and do you make your own soapbox car?
You have the option to make your own soapbox car, but if you don't have time or you forget, there is, like, cars that you can borrow.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cars from the past. People
right,
have made
and
them.
We've had some people in the community build cars just for the loaner car program,
right.
too. Yeah.
Yeah. Build extras. Yeah,
yes.
For sure. That's so cool. So what are you doing? Are you borrowing one or are you making your own?
I think I'm borrowing one this year.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Maybe when you're a little bit older, you'll make one. I'm curious. Now, do you get to choose like a theme? Are these all the soapbox cars themed a little bit? Do you put like stickers on them or what do they look like?
They're just like one is like 4th of July themed, and I forget the other ones.
Yeah.
And also, if you like, if it's your first time, and you don't know how to do anything, there is a practice run on July 3rd, the day before,
the
during
the practice run.
Yeah, the practice run. Okay, a soapbox challenge, heat trials, and registration on Friday. Yeah.
Right. And so we want to also encourage people to not wear flip-flops or Crocs because it's safer for your feet if they have shoes on. So none of those kinds of things. And then parents or guardians also have to be there to sign the waiver for the kids.
And where do you go? Because I know it's on St. Anne's Avenue, because basically they race down St. Anne's.
Down, right.
Do you go to the top and register? Or where is the registration
Registration,
at?
Actually, I think
about halfway up.
Halfway up.
It's real obvious where it is.
There's
table. Really happy that the Moose Club is helping put that event on, because they're very helpful. They've got all the soapboxes all tuned up and ready to go.
Right. It's so fun. I mean,
go. And the kids can go as many times as they want on the third.
On the third.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And we've had, for the car show, it's kind of the newer cards that get put there. Like we've had the fire chief, Etheridge, he built a fire truck. And then we've had a whale kind of thing. We've had vans. We've had all kinds of fun things.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday,
back to the third for a second.
Okay.
Cannot forget our community picnic.
Oh.
And this is for everybody, not just Douglas, but everybody. Please come and join us. It's on the front page, I think, isn't it?
I thought the community picnic is on – oh, it is on Friday from 6 to 8. You're right.
Yes.
You're right. Okay,
and
yeah.
So the volunteer firefighters provide the hot dogs and hamburgers, and they do all the cooking. And then we provide the salads, and Foodland provides the watermelons for the watermelon eating contest for the kids, as little as 2 all the way up to 80 if they want to.
Like a 2-year-old can do the watermelon eating contest?
We give them little itty-bitty pieces. And so they can use their hands if they want to or not.
Yeah.
and they can use hands, but as they get older, they cannot use hands.
I just wanted to make sure that for Saturday, I know Friday's the sort of the registration and the practice trial, but when is the actual race for the cars on Saturday?
Okay, on Saturday, we have the cars starting on the back of the page.
Oh, there it is, 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, so the parade starts at 2 at Gastineau School. Gastineau-Sayac School, and goes down the hill to the Montessori School and then tapers off. And so the kids can just go ahead and walk up the hill there, and that's where the soapbox run is. They only have one shot on the 4th.
Right,
so,
okay.
But and you don't have to be on the trials. If you didn't make it on Friday, you can still race on Saturday.
Okay, so you don't have to do that.
Right.
I see. If you had Callahan, thank you so much for telling us about your soapbox journey. I'm curious, for young kids or parents who want to get their kid involved, what's the best thing to do? Is there somebody to reach out to about this or to get involved? How do you get involved?
To get involved with help running it?
Yeah,
To do it? Just show up.
Show up on Friday because that's where you can get a loaner car and all that kind of stuff.
And come at 5, then you can see all the fun new cars that have been built, and you can take a pick, and that way the kids can kind of plan which car they might want to ride in.
I see. Okay. So we only have a couple more minutes, so maybe we can highlight a couple of the other things that you want to highlight. Okay. Obviously, the hot dog sale is always a big one at the firehouse.
At the firehouse, that's a big thing. The church, they're doing a kids' fest. This is their 80th year, so it's their 80th anniversary, so that's kind of cool, too. So we want to give a shout-out to them as well. They have a kids' fest, sandcastle challenge down at the beach.
That's always good, especially if the weather's
fun.
Good.
Exactly.
It's always a blast.
We also want to say first student does a shuttle from Gastineau-Sayac School to Federal Building back and forth from 11 to 5 all day long. On Saturday only, go for that. Don't forget the fire hose race. Firefighters at 3:30, always a good time.
Yeah.
The bands, Keith Giles does this every year for us. He's done it for I don't even know how many years. And all the bands do this for free. So there's 99%, One Eye Open, Scratch Kwan, Sound Crew, Steady Going. Those are our bands. Food vendors, we have a whole bunch this year. Alaskan Wildflower Sweets, Ailes Bakery, El Taco Azteca, Four Plates, Glacier Scoops, Grab and Go, Homemade Delicacies, Hot Shot Coffee, JB's, Alaskan Sled Dog, La Caverna, and Something New.
Wow.
So all of that is good.
And if you missed all of that, or you want to keep track of it, because you don't have one of these yet, one of the programs in your hot little hand like I do, because I'm going to keep this.
Yes.
you can go to Douglas 4th of July. That's the number 4, douglas4thofjuly.com.
Yes.
And do you have a whole list of everything on there?
This will be on there. And then we also have a Facebook page.
And Facebook.
And that would be on there, too.
Yes. And how do we find, just search 4th of July Committee, Douglas 4th of July Committee?
Douglas 4th of July Committee.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's so cool.
These will be out on Wednesday.
Okay, the programs will be out on Wednesday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So cool. 4th of July special year, 250 years. So many good activities that are happening over there in Douglas. Thank you so much for 127 years, Douglas 4th of July Committee. That's so cool.
It is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, hey, if you want to come and volunteer, come join us. You'll see us. We'll all have safety vests on. Come find us. We can definitely use more people, as most organizations can.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much, Maggie. Thank you so much, Joyce Callahan. Good luck in the race, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Gonna cheese. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA.
This is Bird Note. While many songbirds are accomplished soloists, some of the bird world's most impressive performances are actually duets. In North America, breeding pairs of Carolina wrens sing duets to strengthen their bond and defend territory. The male repeats a series of clear notes, accompanied by the female's steady trill. In Ecuador, plain-tailed wrens blend their voices so perfectly that it sounds to our human ears as if just one bird were singing. Wrens aren't the only birds that sing as power couples. In this duet of oriole warblers from Senegal, the female keeps time with a rising series of staccato notes as the male whistles along. In Central America, pairs of male long-tailed manakins team up to woo prospective females with song and dance. Researchers have estimated that the dynamic duo may perform their Toledo song up to 5,000 times in one day. An impressive vocal feat indeed. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. In 2019, Mo Longworth's play Blue Ticket was produced as a live stage production. And I think in a great moment of forethought, the play was also professionally filmed. Disclaimer, it was filmed by the KTOO video production team. And now you can catch a special screening of the film in celebration of Pride Month this Monday, 6/29, at the Gold Town. I'm joined now by Mo Longworth, as well as original cast member Dan DeSlover. Gwyneth Cheese for being here. Mo, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Excellent. WACT to you, Dan. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Excellent. So, Dan, I want to start with you and just say, so you were in the play in 2019, and I'm just curious, like, what is it like to then see, because I know this has been screened before in town, but what's it like to go back and watch it?
Awkward. I don't know many people that like to watch themselves in a performance. I watched it once at Gold Town when it was screened a few years ago, and it was a little hard to watch, especially the character I played was a truly...
You were
evil,
kind of the bad guy.
Yeah, just an unredeeming sort of violent psychopath. So to watch myself do that and be in some scenes that were very sort of uncomfortable, terrible subject matter.
And, yeah.
So it was a little hard to watch. But it was good to kind of do that in like the theater setting and have a little talk session afterwards to be able to kind of reassure people.
Yeah,
that's not
sure.
me.
That's not me.
Yeah.
True. I totally understand that. I was cast a lot of times in different in roles that are not necessarily fun to play, but they're mm-hmm. interesting, but they're dark characters for mm-hmm. sure. So Mo, let's go back though to the beginning. So what is Blue Ticket about and how did you come to write this play?
Well, it's sort of interesting hearing you two talk about what it's like as an actor to see yourself playing these roles, because what's awkward for me is every single thing on the screen came out of my head.
Right.
You know, and I wrote every one of those lines. And so it's very vulnerable to go to that kind of raw, vulnerable place that you have to do as a writer. And when I moved to Juneau in 1992, I was out to lunch in the Mendenhall Mall by a group that took me and my wife out to lunch, and I said the word gay out loud at the lunch table, and I was told by the people taking us out to lunch, don't say that out loud, people might hear you. And then they told me people were sent away for being gay in the 60s, and still people were afraid here to be openly gay. And then I joined the Siegla board. And I suggested that we march in the 4th of July parade, interestingly, since they just talked about their parade. And people said they would only march if they wore brown paper bags over their heads.
Oh.
Because they would not be comfortable because they could get fired from their jobs.
They didn't want to be recognized and singled out, yeah.
As even, and so then it was the same time PFLAG was starting up in Juneau, and finally PFLAG started marching, and that seemed safer. Parents and friends and families of gays, see? So it made an entree into the community. And then PFLAG started a chorus, Pride chorus, that started, got so good and popular, we were asked to sing at public events. And people started realizing gay people are kind of normal.
So when you heard this, when you were out to lunch and you heard this, that people had been taken away,
yeah,
that sort of got you back to the impetus for writing the play. You started doing research?
I started doing research, and I was moving here for a new job, and I became, you know, a full-time physician with hardly any free time. But over the 20 years, I'd say, preceding my actually sitting down and writing, I collected stories and I interviewed everybody I could who'd been here in the 60s and all ages, and especially looking for older people that would have been the same age of the people sent away. And then I collected all these stories. Some of them I recorded, some of them I just did notes. And then Lynn and I together, my wife, Lynn Davis, she's much more a historian than me. I'm more of a storyteller type. And we researched the period. Bruce Botello, class of 66, I just heard, gave me all his yearbooks because he was one of the people that told me stories about the guys sent away. His favorite teacher and many people in his class, the class of 66, their favorite teacher was sent away.
Oh, wow.
And so, and he was voted the favorite teacher of the year every year, and he was still sent away.
So I know the play goes into this. So we don't have to do the whole plot here, but why were they sent away?
They were sent away because they were thought to be gay.
So they just, the community, and who was sending them? Was it the government?
The police.
The police, okay.
The police, was doing it in terms of security because Hoover had just become head of the FBI, and he announced to the United States that gay people were communists and that they needed to be driven out of our communities. And he gave special trainings in D.C., and local police could go to it and learn how to spot and get rid of communists
and gays were included in the group that they learned to identify.
And how long did this go on for?
Well, what's so interesting, we had a showing of it last Sunday as well, and Patricia Hull, the producer of the play, shared a story that I thought had happened in the 60s, but she, in 1977, she was in choir practice, and a girl that she was singing with was pulled out and taken to the hallway because her dad was there being taken away for being gay.
In 1977.
And wow. He came to have a, she said she watched the tearful goodbye in the hallway. So anyway, these are the kind of stories I collected over mm-hmm. these years. It was just heartbreaking after heartbreaking. And what was really fascinating is some people knew lots of details about a particular person sent away, and other people said, oh, I didn't know anything about that. Mm. And it's so weird that it could be going on and some people wouldn't know. So some of the characters in the play kind of are maybe know what's going on, or maybe they're just kind of in the illusion of not paying attention to what's going on. But like after the play came out in 2019, a guy sitting in the sauna at Augustus Brown, an older gentleman, said, you know, I remember being on the bus with my dad and going down Main Street and seeing a crowd around the barber hairdresser. It was a combination for men and women to get their hair done. And I asked my dad, what's going on? He said, they're sending the queers away, son. Mm. And he said he'd never thought about it since. And he was a kid at the time.
Until he saw your play.
Until he saw the play.
Wow.
And he realized what a dramatic thing that was.
Yeah.
And I think that this is the bad thing about things going on without it being identified and brought to attention. And I felt a real compelling need to bring it to attention.
Well, it's so cool that you're able to have a filmed version of it that you can share.
Yes.
I know you've had screenings in the past. Just to remind folks, the screening is going to be on Monday night down at the Gold Town. You can see Mo will be there. There's going to be a Q&A. Cast members like Dan, we can talk about how evil he was and prove that he's not.
And not only that, but Siegla, who's rented it and providing the theater and the showing, is offering free popcorn snacks and drinks.
Ooh, and the snacks and the popcorn down at Gold Town are the best.
Are worth going to, right?
Yeah, you get real butter. That's the trick
that's
right
the
down there. The real butter. So this is a historical fiction. It's based on the true stories of LGBTQ sent away by police and their vigilantes in the 1960s. It's a filmed version of the play that was done in 2019. Do you want to shout out some of the other cast members, Dan, who were in this? Can you remember all the names of the folks who were in it with you?
Sure. Ty Yamaoka.
Felix Thelay.
Felix Thelay. Patricia Hull. Kristen Rankin. Who else?
Eric was in it too,
Eric
right?
Caldwell.
Eric Caldwell.
Yeah. Therese Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Jack. What's Jack's last name?
Schultz.
Jack Schultz.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And Victoria Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah. She plays Wilma. Mm-hmm.
And who directed it?
Roblin Gray Davis.
Roblin Gray Davis. Okay.
Yeah. And awesome. I assistant directed, and Sue Schaefer did the stage managing.
Oh, that's so great.
You'll recognize lots of your friends. Come on down.
Come on down to the Gold Town. I love that. That could be their phrase. Come on down to the Gold Town. Monday, the 29th at 7 p.m., check out Blue Ticket. You can also just search Mo Longworth. You'll find out. I mean, you're instrumental in rights and being an activist over the years. You changed the course of history here in Alaska, and there's so much about you that you could talk about, but go
ahead. One last thing, though, is Alaska, like 32 states, does not have equal rights for LGBTQ. To this day, in Juneau, we have a city ordinance that you can't be fired for your job, but state politics or legislation would overpower that in the court of law, And it's why some people still don't feel comfortable to be open about who they are. And I will do this work till the day I die, but there's no reason we should ever let our legislators leave session without making our state one of the minority of states that gives equal protection under the law to all of us.
Gunth Chishmo, thank you so much for being here. Dan, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Blue Ticket on Monday at the Gold Town. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Support from Hanson Gress, seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. During heavy downpours, stormwater can wash over roads and lawns, picking up pollution and flooding streets and homes. As the climate warms, many areas will get more extreme rain. But homeowners can help limit flooding with a simple and attractive bit of landscaping, replacing lawn grass with native plants. Native plants are species that are indigenous to a region and a natural part of the local ecosystem. In western states, for example, that might include riverbank lupin or blue elderberry. In the northeast, that could mean Joe Pieweed or winterberry, a type of holly. Many native plants, like coneflowers, big bluestem, and Indian grass, have longer roots than lawn grass. These roots help absorb and filter stormwater and stabilize the soil to prevent erosion. And local birds, insects, and mammals often rely on native species for shelter and food. So replacing even part of your lawn with native plants can provide many benefits. For help, you can reach out to a local environmental conservation group. Many offer lists of native plants and species recommendations, so you can learn how to make your yard beautiful, wildlife-friendly, and more resilient to flooding. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
This is Juno Afternoon from your community-supported station, KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at kto.org. I am Boston Christopher. Zach Gord, the Youth Center, part of CBJ Parks and Rec, is hosting their annual Pride Party this Saturday afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. The theme is a mystical masquerade, and it's an afternoon of magic, celebration, and community. And I have a good group of folks in here to talk about this. I have MJ in here. Gunath Chishwasitya. How are you, MJ?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you so much. I also have Max in the house. Hi,
hello.
Max. Thank you so much. Max performed on the show last year.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Max, for being in here. I also have Langston in the house. Hi, Langston. Gunath Chish.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good.
Good. And then I have Selena. Wasiti. Selena, how are you?
I'm good.
Excellent. Well, welcome into the show. How many years has the Pride Party been going?
So this is going to be our, I believe, seventh annual,
I believe. Okay.
Or we might be on the eighth. But 7 or 8 years that we've done this in a row now. Yep.
Okay. And does the theme change every year?
Yes, and this is really the first year that we've gone for a theme.
In
the past, the theme has been youth pride, and in general, just having activities. But this year, we put a selection of options together for youth to vote on, and a mystical masquerade was chosen as the theme for this year.
I love that. So, Selena, can you tell me, are you involved in the creation of the mystical masquerade?
No, I'm not. I just kind of hang out. If they are offering youths or people who are hanging out there to help, then I would.
I see. So are you pitching in tomorrow and helping out?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. What kind of things will be people be doing tomorrow, MJ?
We have a lot of different events. Some of the bigger draws are always face painting, and we have food for anyone that shows up, as well as we'll have music from DJ Accardi and some live printmaking with Rachel Levy from Broken Bottle Prints. She made some screen prints for us, and we'll have...
Rachel was just on the show earlier.
Yeah. And so we'll have bandanas, or people can bring in their own clothes to print, as well as mask making. If anyone didn't have time to make a mask for the masquerade, they can make one there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Masquerade, you want to have some kind of mask, yeah.
And lots of goodies and door prizes and... anything else they want to do.
That's so cool. And Langston, do you go and hang out at the youth center?
Yeah, I go every day.
You go every day?
Yeah, every day that I can.
Every day that you can. So you go after, well, I guess in the summertime, it's probably different, right? People can be there hanging out earlier than school lets out, right? So
yeah, you can be there at 11.
You can be there at 11. Okay, that's nice. And so I'm gathering that Langston and Selena, you two are, you go to the youth center. Okay, yeah. I got it. And then MJ and Max, you work at the youth center.
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm trying to get that in my brain. So you're organizing stuff and you're participating in stuff. Okay. So Langston, tell me, what is it that you love about the youth center?
Everything.
Tell me a couple things. Give me some specifics if you can.
Because
I know I've been in there. I know there's like a weight room, and there's like an area to hang out, and there's like
pool tables.
There's a racquetball the room where you can play racquetball or whatnot. Yeah. What do you do when you go, Langston?
That's hard to answer.
Is it?
You make a lot of food.
Anything.
Do you play games? They got games, I'm sure.
Yeah, sometimes I play Roblox there.
Roblox, of course. You can't get away from Roblox anywhere, even at the youth center.
Oh, no, I don't play Roblox anywhere else but the youth center.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see. Do your parents know about that?
Got it.
And Selena, so what is your favorite thing about the youth center?
My favorite thing is the art room, or kind of the lounge area, where everyone could just hang out. And in the art room, it's fun because it's a peaceful area to hang out and make stuff.
Yeah, so what kind of do you have, like, is it like they give you materials like
they
paper
and
stuff?
They have paints, they have, right now they have mask making.
Okay.
They have like bracelet making stuff. What else? Perler beads, they have kind of like all kinds of art stuff. They have clubs every day or so, and there's a club for making, like, pottery and stuff.
Okay, that's kind of cool. Yeah. So did you make a mask for the masquerade tomorrow?
Yeah, I've helped my friend make one. I made one for me, and then I made another one just for fun.
Oh, nice.
Kind of for anyone.
And what is it? Can you describe what your mask looks like?
So my mask that I'm going to wear, it's a white-based mask. Kind of just like one that goes over your face. It doesn't have any cool design. Well, it does. Over both the eyes, there's a diamond and then the spades.
Okay.
Like on the playing cards.
Yeah.
And then around them, it's like bedazzled.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And then there's like kind of like splatter paint on it. It's kind of like a jester's mask, but like with a twist.
Sure. That's so cool.
So it kind of like fits my style.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's going to look awesome. Langston, are you going to go to the masquerade tomorrow? And did you make a mask?
I did not make a mask, but yes, I'm going.
So are you going to borrow a mask? Are you going to put...
I don't know.
You don't have to wear a mask, right?
You don't have to.
You're not required.
No, but okay. We do have masks if anyone doesn't want to make one or that are pre-made.
I see. Okay, that's kind of cool. Now, this is going to be tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. Down here at the Zach Gordon Youth Center, just across the street here from KTOO. And you have some awesome partners on this. You want to tell me about that?
We do, yeah. So we partnered with a lot of local businesses, too many to name all right now on air, who have given us a number of door prizes. We actually have over 60 door prizes that we're going to give out tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And we received three pairs of earrings from Lily Hope. So
okay.
Goodness Juice, Lily Hope. We're really excited to be able to give those out. And we've partnered, partnered with DJ Accardi to come in and do the music with Broken Bottle Prints. And we have a staff member, Sebastian, who is a professional photographer, and he's set up a photo booth, and some of his photographer friends are going to join and also be there to help assist in taking portraits of kids at the party.
That's awesome. And MJ, for those parents who may be listening or students who may be listening that don't know about the Zach Gordon Youth Center, what's the best way to get involved with Zach Gordon? Because beyond the masquerade, I mean, you have daily activities, you have all kinds of things going on down there every day. What can you tell the folks about getting in touch with y'all? How do you do that?
It's really easy. You show up and we're there for you. It's for anyone who is 19 or under can show up, and you can be there without an adult if you are between the ages of 9 and 19. If you're younger than 9, you'll have to have an adult over 18 with you there at all times. But it's for any kid that needs a place to go.
And what are the hours, MJ? What are the hours in the summer, I guess?
It's 11 to 10 most days.
Yeah, 11 to 9 Monday through Thursday, and 11 to 10 on Fridays, and 3 to 10 on Saturday, but not this Saturday. Since we have the masquerade, we will be cutting our day short
Once we are done. Yeah, for sure. And Langston, how old are you?
I am 10.
10.
By the way, back to what I do with...
Lean up a little bit there, or pull it down. Yeah, there you go. Tell me.
Back to what I do at the Zach, because it's hard to figure out.
Sure.
My favorite thing to do is, baking club and pottery club. Last time we made donuts.
Donuts? That's my favorite thing in the world. That's pretty cool. Baking club and pottery club.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So there's all kinds of activities there for ages range 9 to 19. Today we're here to talk about the party that's happening tomorrow. It's the Pride Party, the annual Pride Party, a mystical masquerade. It's tomorrow, June 27th, from 3 to 6 p.m. The best way to find out more information is to just Google Zach Gordon Youth Center. You'll find the link. It's part of CBJ. And you can find out all of the information there that we talked about today. It sounds like it's going to be a blast tomorrow. Go ahead, MJ.
I also wanted to shout out our long-term partners of NAMI and Hattusa Lachiche as well. They are our consistent partners that have been there for the entire time that I have known about Youth Pride, which has been about 4 years now. And they do a really great job of both helping us get everything up and running and physically being there on the day and providing some funding for us as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today. Have a great time tomorrow and enjoy. Thank you, Selena. Thank you, Langston. Thank you, MJ. Thank you, Max.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Kenneth, jeesh. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Reminder, Juno Afternoon is on holiday next week. We'll be back with live shows on Wednesday, July 8th. You can find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Jeesh, have a fantastic holiday!